If you like scary stories, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Maniac on the Loose Scary Stories Podcast. Sit back and relax. Keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, and enjoy the ride. The dark car, the victim.
Lots of areas have urban legends. I'm from southwestern Kentucky. In this neck of the woods, the urban legend is known as the dark car. Legend has it that in the early 1950s, there was a man named Daniel Dark. He was a homicidal maniac. He would kidnap women, take them back to his basement, and do unspeakable things to them before he killed them. The only thing Daniel Dark loved more than torturing women was his car. It was a black 1953 Chrysler Imperial. It was a monstrous four-door luxury vehicle with a massive hood and menacing chrome bumpers. He'd stalk the women he wanted to kidnap, wait until they were traveling alone, and pull up close behind them in his ominous car. He'd flash his headlights on and off several times in an attempt to get them to pull over. If they did, he'd stop and take them. If they refused to stop, he'd pull up next to them and smash the side of his car into them and force them off the side of the road. Eventually, enough witnesses had described him and his car that police were confident that he was the one responsible for all those missing women. When Daniel Dark got word that he was going to be apprehended, he sat down in the front seat of his luxury sedan and blew his brains out. According to the legend, that was not the end of Daniel Dark or his intimidating black car. Over the years, many people have reported a huge, mysterious black car driving close behind them and flashing their lights on and off, as if trying to get them to pull over. Sometimes the car will drive up beside them and attempt to swerve them off the road. Many believe this to be the spirit of Daniel Dark driving his ghost car, still thirsty for young female blood. As a woman in her early 20s, I always found the legend of the dark car to be terrifying. Did I really believe that a ghost car was driving around our quiet streets, attempting to run people off the road? Well, maybe. But one thing I was positive about was copycats. People who would pull that stupid stunt in an attempt to scare people. And who knew what their true intentions were? Maybe it was all fun and games, but perhaps some of them were true murderers, following in Daniel Dark's sinister footsteps. It was during the weekend after midnight. I was the assistant manager of a movie theater and had to close up during the week. The last movie didn't let out until well after midnight, so I always got home late. I was already on edge because when I left the theater that night, I could have sworn I saw the dark car. It was parked near the back of the parking lot in the shadows. It freaked me out because, according to the legend, Daniel Dark stalked his victims before he attacked them. Was he stalking me? I lived in a small town about 25 minutes from the movie theater. I had to drive down a long, dark, lonely road the majority of my way home. The road is lined with enormous walnut trees with long, twisty branches that shield the sky and make the road black no matter how bright the moon. At that time of night, I rarely saw another vehicle. I took notice when I saw the bright lights emerge in the distance behind me. They were unusually bright, but far away. I was driving over the speed limit, so it was unlikely they would catch up to me. Or so I thought. I could see the brilliant lights growing larger and brighter. The car was catching up to me quickly. They had to be going over 70 miles per hour. I really wouldn't have thought much about it until their headlights started flashing on and off. It was the dark car, and it was coming for me. I stepped on the accelerator and got my old Pinto up to 70 before it topped out, and the dark car continued to get ground on me. Within minutes, it was on my tail, flashing its light on and off over and over. There was no way in the world I was going to stop and be this ghostly specter's next victim, so I just kept motoring along. Then what I feared most began to happen. The hostile vehicle pulled alongside of my puny car as it continued to flash its lights on and off. That's when I was able to see the car well. It was a 1953 Chrysler Imperial. There was no doubt about it. It was the dark car. Because I worked such late hours and had to travel down such a long, dark road every night, I always carried a gun in my glove box. I was a good shot, too. I practiced with it every week. I withdrew my firearm from the glove box, rolled down my window, pointed the gun at the dark car, and open-fired.
The dark car. The driver.
I hate my dad's new antique car. It's a black 1953 Chrysler Imperial. I mean, it's basically the dark car, and around here, people take that urban legend seriously. I had a date with my boyfriend Ben. He wanted to see the last showing of an action movie playing at the closest theater to us. My dad wasn't wild about me being out past midnight, but he allowed it as long as I came straight home after the movie. The problem was that I didn't have a car and Ben's Firebird was in the shop, so I asked my dad if I could borrow his car. Normally, this wouldn't have been an issue, but my brother Tommy had already borrowed my dad's regular car to go see his girlfriend. Ben and I really wanted to see this movie, and it was the last chance we'd have. It was a Thursday night. The theater was getting all new movies the next day. I begged my dad if I could take his antique Chrysler. He was opposed to the idea. Not because he didn't trust me with his fancy new antique, but because there were some electrical issues he hadn't gotten worked out yet. Finally, after 10 minutes of pleading, he gave in. While I lived 20 minutes from the movie theater, Ben lived close to it. I picked him up, we watched the movie, then we left and got into the antique car. We had a great time, and Ben was looking especially dapper that night, so a few innocent kisses turned into a full-blown makeout session. I even drove the car to a shadowy part of the theater parking lot so nobody could see us well. After 15 minutes of making out, I realized I had to get going or my dad would have a fit. He did say to come straight home after the movies and was such a good sport about letting me take his new antique car, I didn't want to disappoint him. I quickly dropped Ben off at his house and floored it down the dark, lonely road that led me home. I must have been doing 80. If I could keep up that pace the majority of the way home, I might be able to shave off enough of the time spent making out to keep my dad from getting upset. Then the dang headlights on my dad's car started flicking on and off, obviously an indicator of the electrical issues my dad had spoken of. I'm sure he wasn't aware the headlights would do something like this. He wouldn't have let me have the car if so. Fortunately, the lights were flicking on and off fast, so I was still able to see well enough to keep driving. There was a car ahead of me that I could not allow to slow me down, so I attempted to pass it. As I was passing the car, I noticed the driver rolling down their window and pointing their finger at me. I wasn't sure what they wanted. Then I realized that wasn't her finger she was pointing at me. It was a gun. The first shot hit me right between the eyes. After that, well, I guess it doesn't really matter.
We hope you enjoyed the show. We're dying for you to come back for more. Visit maniacontheloose.com.
Sign up for our newsletter, and I'll give you some free stuff. We'll see you soon. Very soon.